What a song to sing before we get into the Word of God. Indeed, from the beginning of time, God's Word, He spoke this Word in, you know, the world into motion. And the Word that He has given to us, we have, by God's grace, He has kept it, stored it, preserved it for us so that we can have it and know more of who He is and grow in our relationship with Him. You know, we're continuing on to another section of the longest chapter in the Bible. So we're still in Psalm 119 here. And, you know, I hope that you're not getting tired of hearing about God's law. Because as we see the words of the psalmist, he just loves the law of God. He loves the Word of God. And he knows how essential God's law and His Word is to the daily living of every believer. Now, just a reminder that there are several sections within this psalm, Psalm 119, and they are marked by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so today's Hebrew letter is Mem. And all the sections, and again, all the entirety of this psalm, the longest chapter for very good reason, is about God's law, His Word, His ways. And today we're going to look at another aspect of God's law and His Word, in that it provides great counsel for us. It gives us great advice and teaching and instruction for life. And so that's the title of today's message, which is Seeking Counsel in God's Law. And we're going to look at Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104 together. So let's go ahead and do that. Psalm 119, verse 97 to 104. And you'll see it on the slides. It's going to be broken up so that you can see it more clearly, and it's you know, more visible here. Okay, so let's read through Psalm 119, verse 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter to my mouth, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Let's pray together before we get into this word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this is not just words on a page, but it is living and active. And you want for us to not only just listen and hear the words, but you want for these words to go deep into our hearts, into our minds, that from the inside out, we will begin changing. Our very purpose, our very motivations of life will be connected with you, our God, who loves us, who cares for us, and has a purpose for us. We thank you that you give to us your word, that we get to not only hear it on Sundays, but every day we have it available to us. So help us, Lord. Help us to cherish your word, not take it for granted. And as we live our lives in the many decisions that we have to make and the many responsibilities that we have, that we would seek counsel in your law. We thank you for this time. We pray that you would open up our hearts and minds. Be with me through the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can learn together how to more rightly live for you. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So everyone has advice to give these days, right? Sometimes people have advice when you ask, and plenty of times people have advice when you don't even ask, right? So everyone has some kind of advice for us. For anyone, but especially for Christians, I think it's important to reflect upon and ask ourselves, who do we receive our advice from? Where do we go to get our advice when we have questions, when we have decisions to make, when we have choices before us? Who do we go to? Where do we go? Maybe we go to our parents. Maybe we go to our closest friends. You know, maybe we go to a therapist or a counselor, or maybe even a pastor when we need advice, when we are seeking counsel. But this is what I want to say, that no matter who you may go to, the advice that you receive must always be something that you test according to God's law, something that you test according to God's word. You see, simply put, there's no better person to go to for advice on life than God himself, the giver of life. You see, God has given his law and his word to map out how we ought to live as Christians so that we would live life as he wants for us to do, as he intended for us to do. But remember also that as we seek counsel from God, his law, it's not just about what we can and cannot do. As we seek counsel in God's law, we're actually learning more about the heart of God. And every law of God, and every word of God from Genesis to Revelation, there is the reality that God is wanting to show us more of his grace, more of his character, so that we would love him more and experience his love more. And that would cause us to live out God's law even more so in our lives. So seek counsel in God's law. We have to seek it out in God above any other person, any other relationship. Our relationship with God through his word is where we ought to first and foremost seek his counsel. There's a few reasons why I believe that seeking counsel in God's law is so essential and important. And these are the three points that I'm going to have. The first thing is this, that God's law gives wisdom. So it's pretty, important that when we receive advice, that it's wise advice, right? So let's look at what the word of God says here in verse 97 to 100 one more time. So God's law gives wisdom. This is the psalmist. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Now, God's law gives us wisdom, but not the wisdom of this world. His wisdom, the God of the universe, the one who created us from the very beginning, when he made the world, when he set everything into motion, this is the same God who gives to us this word. Now, I want to just, maybe we need to be honest with ourselves about how we go about getting advice and who we go to. I think sometimes when we have questions or decisions in front of us, we go to people who we already kind of know subconsciously or even consciously are going to agree with the way that we're already kind of leaning, right? I mean, we're looking for someone to okay the decision that we've kind of already made in our hearts, in our minds. And so if someone else agrees with us and says, yeah, that's a good idea, that's the best way to go, then we kind of pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, see, I had the right choice all along. We love hearing people affirm our decisions. We love people, hearing people support whatever we want to do. Now, I'm not against supporting people, of course, but we always have to start first with the wisdom of God. You see, God's law gives wisdom. And we see here in these verses where it says, oh, how I love your law. That's how this section starts. Oh, how I love your law. You see, this psalmist does not love the law of God because it simply tells him that everything he wants to do is okay. He loves the law of God. Why? Because it actually informs him of how God wants for him to live. You see, we shouldn't go to people for advice about what to do or what not to do based on our own desire of what we already want to do already. We go to God, we love his law, because even when it's wisdom that goes against what we want to do, we say, God, thank you that you have instructed me, that you have given me your law and this advice to live for you, how I should live my life. See, so, I mean, when we seek counsel, when we look for advice, it's so important that we go to someone that will give us wise counsel. You know, obviously, nobody goes to someone who will give bad counsel, or if they don't know what they're talking about. Now, you see the pictures here. You know, if you're looking to get into stocks and investments, You know, you're not going to go to, you know, someone who has no idea what NASDAQ or Dow even means. You're not going to go to someone who's on the street, right, asking for change. How do I get into stocks? What are the best options to take in investment? Now, if you're seeking counsel on how to take care of a new puppy that you bought, you would not go to someone who's never owned a dog. You would not go to someone who only has lizards for pets, right? It's very simple things. If you wanted advice on how to cook a good dumpling, you're not going to go to someone that's a fry cook at your local McDonald's, right? To ask you, how do I make a dumpling? It doesn't make any sense. Even in those simple terms, we know that when we go for advice on different things, we have to go to someone who knows what they are talking about. Now, I'm going to, you know, let you in on a little secret. There's someone, when we have questions in life, that knows the most about that very life. And he has given to us his word, his law, so that when we go to him, when we seek counsel from him, he gives us his wisdom, his wise counsel. Why? Because he's the creator of life. He's God himself. And, you know, maybe you've heard this before, but, you know, this is something that some people say that Bible, that word, stands for. Believer's instruction before leaving earth. And maybe you've heard that before. It's the believer's instruction before leaving earth. That means in your time here on this earth, God has his wisdom for you. His law provides that wisdom. So learn to go to him for that instruction. Seek counsel in God's law, because God's law will give you wisdom. Now, there are a few things that are said within this first part of this passage, this psalm, that's so very important. You know, when we look at verse 99, okay, this is verse 99, it should be on the next slide. Verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, I thought about this, you know, and it's such a, you know, it's so long ago, but I feel like it's so relevant to today. You know, something that not only that I'm convinced of, but that the Word of God teaches us is that, you know, having several degrees of higher learning doesn't actually mean that much in terms of wisdom, true wisdom from God. Now, I'm not trying to take away from all of us holding masters and medical and pharmaceutical and, you know, doctorate degrees, but having knowledge required to be a PhD in different fields does not mean that you somehow hold more wisdom or understanding about life in your hands than anyone else. And verse 99 makes sure that we know that. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You see, he's saying, because I know God and who he is and what he's done in my life, that actually gives me more insight, more understanding than any PhD, any MD, any master, whatever. Now, for the younger ones who are here listening, I'm not saying, you know, that tomorrow you go to school and you raise your hand and, you know, maybe it's virtual, maybe you're back in class, I forget it, but if maybe you raise, hey, Mr. Smith, guess what? My pastor says you're a fool. I understand more than you. You know, that's, I'm not prescribing that for any of our young ones listening, okay? But what I'm saying is that sometimes as young people, or even as adults, we look up to people with higher degrees of learning and professors of different universities and scholars, and we look up to them in such a way and say, wow, they must have all this wisdom because they're brilliant in their field of study. Guess what? God's wisdom is not of this world. You see, he shows us how we ought to live our lives. He gives to us by his grace, understanding. He gives to us by his love, understanding that goes beyond any other subject, how we live our lives, you know? And this is something that is a very interesting thing to me, because I've actually seen many of my friends who were very devout Christians and lived, you know, did their best to live for the Lord. And then actually when they started getting into higher education, now I'm not saying you can't be in higher education and, you know, still hold to the word, but sometimes depending on what fields you go into, there's a lot of things that actually start taking you away from the wisdom of God, from God's law. You know, and we see that there's so many examples of people with higher degrees of learning, but that they don't have the understanding of life, the true counsel of God. You know, there's PhDs in biology that will say to you that there is no God. My teacher, my professor in my freshman year of biology, that was one of the first things that he said in my class. My first biology class in university, he came out and said, I don't want to hear about God. He's not real. I'm here to talk about facts and science. That's literally what he said. And so you see, there's PhDs who will teach happily and as the word that we evolved from monkeys, that everything happened by chance. There's PhDs that will teach you that a baby that's inside a mother's womb up to a certain age is not a baby, is not a human. There's PhDs that will teach you that you can choose your own gender and that that's a normal thing. That's a good thing. There's kindergarten teachers and elementary school teachers that will say the same thing now. But what does the word of God teach us from the very beginning in Genesis, even in those two counts, that God created the world? And when he created people, he made man and woman, male and female, he created them. You see, there's understanding in God's law that surpasses all of the higher degrees of learning, all the teachers. We can have understanding about life and what God shows us very clearly on the pages of Scripture. See, great intellectual minds, maybe even without a degree, geniuses still don't have the wisdom of God unless they know him. Someone like Stephen Hawking, brilliant. And yet he would rather believe that the world was started by aliens than a God, a creator God. Verse 100 says this, I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Now, he kind of breaks it down in these kind of sections, wiser than enemies, a more understanding than teachers. And I don't want to get into any trouble here with the parents who are listening, but children, you know, we're called to honor and obey our parents, but there is a chance that you can actually understand more than even your parents. You see, age, they say, is just a number, but in a real way, just because you become older does not mean you become wiser. Just because you age in this world does not mean that you gain more wisdom. I used to think that way when I was younger, you know, like I would see someone, like any parents would be like, wow, they must be so wise just because they're much older than me. It's kind of in the same way where when I was teaching, you know, kindergartners in Champaign-Urbana before I went to seminary, there were kids who would say like, you know, I would say, how old do you think that Mr. Josh is? And they'd say like 87. And I'd be very shocked, like 87, you think I'm older than your grandparents? And they would say like, yeah, you're taller. You see, so they in their mind had this kind of direct relation that the older you get, the taller you get. But we know that that's simply not true. In the same way, the older we get does not mean the wiser we get, does not mean the more understanding that I have. You see, somehow, some way, we've unlocked the eternal truths of God when we know his law. Not because we're great, but because God who loves us in his grace gives it to us. So go to God, seek counsel in God's law because it will give you wisdom, true wisdom that is not of this world. The word of God is the authority of God, the creator of life. This is the one who gives to us his word. Now, maybe there's a song, you know, maybe you sang this song when you were a kid, but the words simply say, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. How simple those words, but how much we need that when we need advice, when we seek counsel. Always test everything according to God's law, his word. And I promise you that when you learn to walk in the ways of the Lord, he's going to bless you. He's going to show you, even at times if it goes away from what you wanted to do, even if it goes away from where you were leaning, if you follow God's law, he will bless you in your life. Second thing is this, why should we seek counsel in God's law? God's law guides us in righteousness. God's law guides us in righteousness. In verse 101 to 102, this is what it says. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. You see, there's this relationship. It's not just kind of an external set of rules, like, okay, I'm following the things I should do. I'm not doing the things I shouldn't do. It's not just like that. Look, I do not turn aside from your rules. Why? For you have taught me. It's relational. Never think that God's law is apart from who he is. Never think that God's law is just a do and don't list in your life. There's heart behind it. There's reasoning behind it. God is not just some joy kill up in heaven trying to keep you away from the fun stuff. In fact, we're going to see in the third point that there's the greatest stuff, the greatest desires of our hearts can only be fulfilled through God, through Christ Jesus. But let's stay here for a moment. God's law guides us in righteousness. So when you think about guidance, okay, who here has uses GPS when they drive? You know, let me just see a show of hands for those of you on video, right? Okay, pretty much everyone. Back in the day, people had to buy these clunker like GPSs. Like, I mean, if you had the money for it and they'd have it on their, you know, it was kind of like a show-off thing, I think, a little bit, because I could never afford one of those. So I was always printing out, you know, MapQuest maps and trying to be, okay, looking at my odometer. Okay, I'm 0.6 away from the next turn. And, you know, one of the worst things, I don't know why, one of my biggest personal pet peeves of myself is if I get lost. So if I miss a turn, oh my goodness, if it adds 5 minutes, even 7 minutes, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just wasted that time by getting lost, you know? But anyway, back to this GPS thing. I'm so thankful to God for GPS. Now, I've shared this before, but it's something that just rings true every single day, right? My wife will tell you 1,000 times over that if I did not have GPS, I probably would not be here at home in my office right now. I'd be lost somewhere like in the fields or, you know, somewhere in a forest somewhere. Okay. GPS is God's grace to me. Why? Because it's a guidance system. It tells me how to get to where I want to go in the best way possible. And if I do miss a turn, it re-navigates, it recalculates, and it doesn't say that anymore, but back in the day, it used to be like recalculating. It's just going to tell you over and over. But nowadays, it just changes the path and says, okay, this is what you're going to do, right? And it tells you to either make a U-turn or take a right and then make another way back down a different street. But it helps you, it guides you to where you're trying to go. It gets you back on track. And you see, the word of God, his law, is like a GPS. It's like a GPS system that has been programmed by God to help us to navigate this life and choose righteousness. Now, our hearts have to be in it. Just simply choosing the right thing to do doesn't always mean that your heart has changed. So always, as we go into God's law, remember, don't separate God's law from who God is. But it's like a GPS. It tells us how we ought to live, the decisions that we ought to make on various things that we're going to come to in life. God's law, his word, will help us navigate it in righteousness. Now, if you look to the world for counsel, you're going to get all sorts of advice. When you look to the world, you're going to get all sorts of counsel and advice that takes you off track. Friends who just tell you what you want to hear, regardless of what you may ask them that you want to do. I mean, strong emotions. Your emotions may lead you and guide you some way that goes away from God because they're so strong, and maybe there's passion burning in you for something in this world. And that'll take you off track. The evil one, I mean, let's be real. We talked about this. There's a war, a spiritual war going on, and there's temptation that there's actually someone who wants you to fail in your walk with the Lord, and he will put temptation in your way so that that might happen. So we need God's word. We need his law. We need to seek counsel in God's law because there's all sorts of voices, obstacles that try to take us away from how we ought to be living in righteousness Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this: "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death." You hear that? There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. So this is just clearly speaking from Proverbs that oftentimes in life, as people, we might say, "How, this is a great idea. This seems like the right thing to do." But where does it lead? It may not always lead to physical death. Now, sometimes those things happen. But this death is talking about a spiritual death. That if you just simply live life thinking, "Well, I know what's best. The world is teaching me how I should live," and you never seek counsel in God's law, it's going to lead you to unrighteousness. It's going to lead you to sin, and it's going to lead you to spiritual death. And I think it begins at an early age. Remember, when we're born into this world, we're not born into a perfect world with a clean slate. All of us have sin in our hearts when we're born into this world. So there's brokenness that came into this world. So that even when our children are born, as they grow, I mean, you see it, right? I mean, they're not perfect kids, right? I mean, we're not perfect parents. We're not perfect people. There is sin. Now, I remember when I was doing children's ministry back in St. Louis, and I talked to the kids, like, when are some times that you feel tempted to do something that you know is wrong? And these are kids like third graders, second graders, and they were very honest with me. And one of them said, they said, "Pastor Josh, you know, my friends, like there's this one kid that they always make fun of at school because he's different." And I said, "Well, you know, how do you react? What do you do when your friends are doing that?" And he just kind of honestly shared with me, like, "Sometimes I join in and I make fun of the kid." And it's this thing, like, you know, I didn't say, "How dare you? Repent." Yeah, I didn't, like, you know, say, "Okay, we got to pray for you right now. You're doomed to death." No, I didn't do that. But it showed the reality that even as young children, there is the need to seek counsel in God's law, because God's law that says love one another as yourself, to love your neighbor, to reach out to the outcast. But there's temptation in this world. You know, and I said, "Well, why did you join in?" And sometimes it's, "I don't know." And other times it's, "Well, I want it to be like my friends." You see, there's all these things that try to pull us away from being on track of righteousness with God. There's all these things that are obstacles to us living a life where we choose to glorify God over ourselves. I think God's law, it guides us in the opposite direction of sin and unrighteousness. I think too often believers, you know, they really do kind of tiptoe. They want to tiptoe the line of sin, especially maybe in your younger years, in your teenage years, where you learn the right things to do, but your feelings, your friends say, "Well, no, come on, this is more fun than God's righteousness, come on." But God's law says you're going so far away from that line of sin that you're nowhere near it. You know, and because God's law reflects his heart when we get down to, remember, I've been saying that over and over, God's law reflects his heart. They guide us in his righteousness. His law reflects his heart for humanity. He wants the best life for us. He wants the best life for us. So this is what I want to say. Get busy doing things for the Lord. Get busy serving him, loving your neighbors. Get busy praying for our church. Get busy being in God's law and seeking his counsel and growing in your own faith so that you can help to share the law and the word of God, that you would have this heart that says, "Oh, I love the law of the Lord." You see this, you know, the slide here. Seeking self-glory and selfishness is unrighteousness. Choosing God and his glory, that is righteousness. So God's law shows us how to choose him. It encourages us that as we choose him again, that he will bless us and he will keep us. This is the last point here, is point number three, is that God's law fulfills our desires. God's law fulfills our desires. Now, verse 103 to 104, this is what it says. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Now, you might think to yourself, well, how does God's law fulfill our desires? Now, here is the reality that when we become believers of Jesus Christ, the more that we get to know our God, the more that our desires change. So the truest desires that we actually have are the desires to have satisfaction in our lives, the desires to feel worth and value in our lives. These are desires that are oftentimes we use other things to try to find it. Okay, I'm desirable, I'm worthy, I'm valuable because this worldly thing, this accomplishment, what this person thinks of me, what that person says, what degrees I have at the end of my name, my, you know, my milestones of, you know, athleticism, whatever it might be. And we look to those things and say, okay, see, I'm fulfilling my desires. But the greatest desire that we actually have that we're misguided in when we're not seeking counsel in God's law, the greatest desire is one actually that only God himself can fulfill. Why? Because he's the only one that can fully satisfy us. And talk about all the pleasures in the world, the greatest pleasure is the pleasure that we feel and experience when we know who we are before God and when we glorify him, because that's what we were intended to do from the very beginning. So when he says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey. Think about that. You know, now maybe some of you don't like honey, but here honey is not only something that is sweet and pleasurable to the, you know, to the lips, but honey is also something that is associated with blessing from God. Remember that Canaan was known as the land flowing with milk and what? Honey. So there's meaning here. There's meaning that goes into these words of the psalmist. And so I want to ask you, you know, think of your favorite food in the world, something that you crave, you know, here and there. Do you crave the word of God? Do you crave the word of God in the way that you crave that food? Because I promise you, the more you know of who God is, the more you experience his love, the more you experience his grace and the peace that he gives, the more you're going to want to get into his word, because you're like, man, there's nothing greater than knowing more about my God who loves me, who is for me, who cares for me so deeply, who is there with me. And so your desires begin to change from worldly things, maybe even unrighteous things, to things that glorify God. And so God's law fulfills our desires because it's only God who can fulfill our desires. And so as we follow him, as we know the greatest commandment to love God and to love others, when we love God, desires are fulfilled. The more you know of God's character and his love, the more that you want to obey him, the more that you want to seek counsel in his law. And again, I promise you that when you are living in a way that glorifies God, when you seek counsel in God's law, he will bless you. He will fulfill the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that you get everything that you want. See, so this is where I have to make sure there's a distinction. When I say that he will bless you, it does not mean that you're going to get that next promotion just because you made the right choice. In fact, sometimes when you make a choice to glorify God, it may slow down the worldly timeline of success or blessing, but you are blessed because you're growing in your trust and in your surrender to God. You see, that's what God's law is all about, is growing in your relationship with him. Maybe you had dreams and ambitions of your own that never came to fruition. Keep on following God's laws. Even in the midst of failures and disappointments, when we follow God's law and seek counsel in his law, again, not I promise you, but God promises to keep you, bless you, and remind you that there is purpose for you. Trust that. Trust God. Follow his law. You know, some people want the things of this world so badly, and that's their greatest desire, that they're willing to cut corners and compromise their integrity and crush other people so that they can fulfill those unrighteous, sinful desires. But as God guides us in his righteousness, as he shows us what it means to have desires for God, the greater desire for the Lord, man, things change. And so he says he hates every false way. What a beautiful thing. What does that mean, to hate every false way? It means that if we know that there's only one true way, and that's God's way, to follow his law, then that means every other way is false. So in fact, when he says, I hate every false way, in fact, what he's actually saying is boldly is, I love God's law. You see how he's doing that? And I wonder if we hold God's law in that same kind of way, that we desire it, we love him so much, and therefore we want to know more of his law. And he gives us the best counsel. It gives us his wisdom. He gives us the best counsel. It leads us in righteousness. And he gives us the best counsel so that we can just learn to have desire that's fulfilled through Christ, through God alone. So let us seek counsel from God's law. When we follow him, when we seek his counsel, we receive this fulfillment, right? The desires that are fulfilled, it's a fulfillment of the purpose that we were created for, to glorify him in all that we do. We receive his blessings. We learn to live for him and not for ourselves or even for our own families. But when we live for God, you know, that's, it covers it all. That's me too. When my relationship with God is right, and I'm seeking him and I'm in prayer and I'm seeking counsel in his law, then my relationship with my wife is better. My relationship with my children is better. My relationship with our church is better. Why? Because I'm having the greatest desire fulfilled through God. I know who I am in him. And so we go seek counsel in God's law. And let's be blessed as a church together. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your law. It's not a law of do's and don'ts. It's a law of your heart that teaches us that you care so much for us that you don't want to see us be led astray from our purpose in you. Thank you that you guide us with your word. Thank you that you fulfill our greatest need, our deepest desires, our longings by showing us who we are in you as children of God, by your grace. Nothing that we earned, but that you give it freely. So Lord, would you bless our church? Would you help us to be a church that is always seeking counsel in your law, in your word? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now close.